Christian Parenting.
Welcome to Pardon the Mess. I'm your host, Courtney DeFeo, and on this podcast, we talk about raising kids as Christian parents. It's so very important for me to honor God with my family and the two kids that He's given me, but honestly, it's not always neat or easy or tidy, but it's always worth it. So join us every week to laugh and learn together on this beautiful and messy journey of parenting. Resilient, courageous. These are qualities we want to describe our faith in God. But the truth is that faith is hard, especially when trials, setbacks, and failures seem to define us. Author and Bible teacher Alexandra Hoover invites you to join her for her newest Bible study, Without Wavering, Resilient Faith Built on the Promises of God. Alexandra Hoover will offer encouraging words of hope and examples of unwavering faith from the Bible. Drawing inspiration from the examples of faith in Hebrews 11 and the early church, you'll see that life's challenges don't have to define you. Through hope in Christ, you can become the woman who weathers the storms of life with renewed strength and confidence in who God is and who He says you are. Learn more about Without Wavering at lifeway.com/without-wavering. That's lifeway.com/without-wavering. Everybody, we've got an exciting episode today with John Acuff. We're going to be talking all about goals. Raise your hand if you have many goals and you accomplish very few, then you're in the right spot. But first, can we talk about dogs and dog poop for just a second? So prior to COVID, I'd never had a dog. I thought dog people were weird. I thought they were crazy. I thought dogs were gross, that they smelled. And then I got Maisie, a Cavalier, a King Charles Cavalier. Is that even right? Cavalier, King Charles Spaniel. She has a very royal name. And now I'm obsessed. Like, I like her better than everybody else in the family. I sit with her most of the day and just cuddle. And I just didn't know all the things that were going to come. I didn't know we'd have to spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars every time we went to the vet. I also didn't know that they would want me to do a stool sample, that they would ask me to go to the yard, pick up her poop, put it in a Ziploc, carry it in my vehicle, and take it to the doctor's office. These were things no one mentioned. So if you're scared to get a dog and that just put the nail in the coffin, please also understand it's probably the single best decision we have made for our children, for our family. She has been such a gift, but man, there are some surprising twists and turns these dog people have to do. Okay, well, I don't know why I felt like I needed to start with that before John Acuff, but let's switch gears to John. So he is a New York Times bestselling author. He's very well known in the business space and leadership space. He's a top 100 speaker. He's, again, New York Times bestselling author. But what I love about him is he's a dad, and he is a great communicator, and he takes human struggles such as goals. Why can't we accomplish a goal as parents? And then he puts them in terms that I can understand it. I have very limited time to go into studying things like goals, but he did it on our behalf. And then he will communicate it in a way that we get it. If you don't follow him on Instagram, you got to. He's not only hilarious, but he puts things in bite-sized chunks where we can get it. And you don't feel bad about yourself. When I leave an encounter with him, whether it's this conversation or being on his Instagram or reading one of his books, I don't feel terrible about myself. I actually feel seen and understood, and I feel motivated and equipped and encouraged. So that's the whole goal of Pardon the Mess, that we would have folks on this podcast that kind of understand our mess, but don't let us just sit in it. So enjoy this conversation. I think you'll be highly amused and highly understood that, oh my gosh, I'm not the only one that is trying to accomplish personal goals, but feel stuck and feel overwhelmed. So enjoy, John. Here we go.
John, I'm so glad to be here. This is going to be fun.
Welcome. Welcome. The last time I saw you, I geeked out and said hello, excuse me, in the Nashville airport because I'm a fan. And my kids were not there, but they would have died. They're like, he has his headphones in. You do not speak to people that are famous.
I don't. I get nervous. I followed NBA superstar Allen Iverson through three terminals.
Yes, you did.
Minneapolis airport, trying to get the courage up. And here's why I should have said hi, Courtney. He was wearing an Allen Iverson hat. He had a 76ers hat on that said Iverson on. If you're in your own gear, you shouldn't be mad. And I was like, and every time I fly through Minneapolis, I'm like, come on, man, you got to get it together.
Okay, so I'm so glad you're here. You've written many a books. I think you just finished your 10th, and I've read most of them. Not because I'm a super fan, but you have a way with words. You have a way of taking something we're all struggling with and putting it to words like a street smart gal like myself.
Yeah, like
a Harvard kind of guy. Like, we both get it, and we both make traction. So I know you're not just out there spinning words. Like, you have a goal. That's funny. That's your book. That you want people to move forward in their lives. So one question I have of many is, what's your audience? Like, I know it's leadership. I know it's families. Like, do you have a pretty broad audience of people that are consuming your material?
Yeah. So I would say the audience, we've got really kind of two primary audiences. One is, I think about the individual reader, and then one, I think about the audience. Mm-hmm. So the individual reader, I know that like 60% of my audience, 65% are female. So really? It's a lot of females that are like, I want to do a bunch of goals. I have a side hustle, maybe I've got a couple kids. Like, they're really like, I have a kind of goal focused audience. Like, for instance, I never have somebody in my audience come up to me and go, I don't have any goals. I never have goals. Like, what they say to me is the opposite. They say, I have too many goals. I have too many things. Help me prioritize. Help me figure this out. So that's kind of the individual reader. And then the second audience I keep in mind is, I'm on stage and there's an event planner who's trusted me with this moment, and I want to serve this audience. So I want to serve, you know, these ophthalmologists, or I want to serve these dentists, or I want to serve these real estate agents. So how, in the context of a big company, a big corporation, a big conference, am I creating books that they can pick up and go, oh, I can do this. So, but they're ultimately this, like, they're both human. Somebody asked me that once. They're like, well, what's the difference? And I don't think there's a difference, because I try to write to the person. So, like, one of the things I love about my job is, in a given week, I could talk to dentists and people who own franchises that do like pizza, and then hedge fund managers. And you go, well, what's the, like, how are those things related? They're not necessarily related, but if I can write to the human, they're all human. Everyone in the audience is a human. And if I will respect them that way and treat them that way, then I can go, okay, well, here's the specific challenge a dentist is going through, and here's how it relates to that general sense of fear we all feel. How do I customize that in a way that he or she can be benefited by that? So that's kind of how I think about my audience.
Well, and I do think your two are in general spaces. So, like, I've seen you speak at Orange, where it's like, this is thousands and hundreds of people that lead churches, and you're speaking, because I do know you have a faith, and that's important to you, but there's people that don't follow the Lord that pick up your books and gain from it. Is that accurate to say?
100%. Yeah, I write business books. Like, there's no, I mean, I live on a business shelf. So I think somebody who shares my faith might go, oh, this book about mindset reminds me of transforming your mind, or taking every thought captive. I'm familiar with those concepts. But somebody who doesn't have that faith doesn't go, oh, I don't understand it. They go, oh man, I wrestle with thoughts too, because I'm human. Like, what is that? You know, how can you help me with that? So yeah, I'm really cognizant of that. I mean, that's been a big transition in my career, is deliberately saying where I want to be is corporate spaces versus I'm not designed for behind the pulpit. There's people, that's where they're supposed to be. That's not where I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to be on corporate stages, writing self-help, high performance, high achiever kind of goal-oriented books.
Yeah. Okay. Let's start with your daughter's book. So you're going to like this idea. So I have a stack of 4 or 5 books that I want my 16-year-old to read. She will not read them. Like, unless I pay
her. No kid wants to read a book outside of class. No kid right now is like, I don't feel like they're giving us reading in school. So I hope that somebody else could
Here's what
that.
We've done. And maybe this is not a new idea to you, but I was texting her mentor, a lady she babysits for that I love. And she had told Ella, hey, I want to go through a book with you. And I'm mentoring the mom. And so I said, brain, I'm going to do the adult version soundtracks, mentor you, Megan. We're going to
I love that.
You're going to take your new playlist to Ella like it's your idea, because it's not me.
Yeah, totally.
Full circle. Do you love
this? That's brilliant. I've never seen somebody do that. I think that's amazing. I think that's, it's so funny. That book's been out for a year. Soundtracks has been out longer, and no one's ever said that.
Okay, like, this was my friend Kylie White's idea. I need to give her credit, but I texted my group of friends, and I was like, how do I get my daughter to consume? Like, how much money do I have to pay her? And they were like, you could try $100, and then Kylie's like, why don't you do it through somebody who's mentoring her? And I was like, genius.
Yeah, because they'll take some advice from other people that they won't take from us. And it's the same with marriages. Like, I always joke that my wife hates it when I come home and there's been something she's tried to get me to do for 2 years. And I'm like, hey, I heard this guy. I overheard him at a coffee shop have this idea. I think I'm going to do it. And she's like, I am going to kill you. Like, literally. And I'm like, no, he came up with this. I don't know his name. I just overheard him. But I'm going to change a significant portion of my life because of what that stranger
said. So you're saying I should not leave my shoes and flops on the floor every day. Like, what
exactly. I'm like, I'm going to start, like, instead of stepping over stuff that's on the stairs, I think I'm going to carry it upstairs. It seems like that's where it probably goes. I'm getting that vibe. Like, those things don't live in the corner of the staircase.
I love it. I just took this over in May from Cynthia Yanoff. It was a podcast that existed within Christian parenting, but it's women, a lot of women, a lot of moms, and their focus is parenting and faith. But generally the person listening to a podcast is intentional and they have goals. And
what I say to them is that you're a high performer. If you're listening to this podcast, you're a high performer. We often think people that are high performers are special or different. They're not. And I can say that with authority because low performers don't voluntarily listen to this type of content. Like, they don't even know this exists. Like, they don't even know the category of the books I write exists. So just by the fact that you're listening to this, you're a high performer. So knowing that, what do we do with that? That's always where I start from. Because if you're in, like, if somebody comes up to me and goes, convince me I should do goals, I usually go, maybe you shouldn't. Like, right. I'm not like, that's fine. You don't have to, like, but when you're ready to, like, let's go. I'm going to show you how amazing they can be.
All right. My best friend, involuntarily, she did some prep work for me because I was telling her I was talking to you today. So yesterday she was kind of stewing on it. So she was like, oh man. Cause I said, do you have any questions? And, so she went back and listened to a couple of podcasts of yours and she said three things that impressed her. She's like, first of all, you were honest about Instagram. She was like, he scrolls too.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. Second of all, she said, she really loved that you said everybody's goals are different. So trying to make your goal be someone else's goals. I know I'm asking like a 9-part question. And then she said, I'm just confused. So here was her question. She said, what is my problem? I have lack of goals. I'm lazy and I'm so hurt. Too much to handle. Prioritize everyone. ADD. Like, why can't I get a goal accomplished? So let's start there. What would you say to my bed?
So I always try to imagine, like, what does Katie do with this on a Tuesday? So in a situation like that, I would probably try to sit down with Katie and go, let's pick one thing you want to work on. Mm-hmm. So you've said this earlier, like, I like to simplify complicated things. Life is complicated. Like, there's a lot of moving pieces. So let's simplify that. So I'd say, okay, let's think about life in 5 different games. So there's a career game, there's a health game, there's a relationship game, there's a finance game, and there's a fun game. And that last category, fun, can encompass anything that doesn't fit in the other 4. So I'd go, which of those areas do you want to start with? So I wouldn't say, let's start with all of them. Like, let's jump in with 1,000 goals. I would say, let's pick one. And then I would try to get her to go, okay, there's one thing I want to try. And it's not the perfect thing. It's not the one. Like, so you might, like, sometimes to get around perfectionism, I'll go, pick 3 things. Because if I say one thing, and if you're a perfectionist, you go, soon as I know the one, I'll do it. Like, I got to make a list and then I got to do like a draft. And then I'm like, whoa. So the tool depends on the person. So if I get the vibe from Katie that she's a perfectionist, I'd be like, all right, let's pick 3 things. Cause then we're going to trick perfectionism. We're actually going to do it. So I try to get her to pick a couple things and be like, okay, yeah, I want to watch 10 minutes less of TV, or I want to walk around the neighborhood 3 times this week, or I want to. So then I'd experiment with the goal and see if it's worthy of Katie's time. Like, that's the other thing, is that you shouldn't force yourself into goals you're not going to enjoy, that aren't going to benefit you. So I kind of experiment and interview or even audition goals. So, like, for instance, everybody told me, you got to drink so much water. And like online, they're like, if you drink enough, you can float a little like an angel. Like, it's the benefits, your skin, your hair, like you can see in the dark. Like, there's a lot of water hype. And so I was like, I'm supposed to drink a gallon a day. Tried that for 2 weeks, hated it. The only benefit I saw was I now knew where every bathroom and every room I visited was. Like, and talk about flights, like, you're constantly going to the bathroom. And what I realized was that wasn't a good goal for me. Drinking more water is a fine goal, but that a gallon a day was a bad goal for me. So I tried that one for 2 weeks and then I was like, nah, this ain't it. So I try to get Katie to experiment with a couple goals versus think, like, if you're intimidated or overwhelmed or feeling frustrated, if you come to a goal and go, I got to do, this is my new goal for 6 months, it's too much. If you say, like, New Year's resolutions for most people are too much. Right. Like, you don't, like, a whole year? Like, that's crazy. And then you feel like you, instead of experimenting and feeling like, wow, I can kick this one to the curb, I can try this one for another month, I can double down, you feel like a failure in February. And then you go, I'm bad at, then you misinterpret it and go, I'm bad at goals. And now it's a statement about you, not, wow, I shouldn't have tried this for a year. I should have tried it for a week and seen if it was worth a second week or a third week or a fourth week. And then all of a sudden you look up and you're like 6 months in, you're like, man, I keep adding a week or a month to this goal and I'm still doing it.
Yeah.
I think this is going to be great. So that's what I would say to her. I'd try to work her into some goals that were small and fun and she could test and then give her the freedom to quit them if they sucked.
Well, I love that you're saying this because I have a label that I've put on myself that I'm a quitter. I'm a quitter. Yeah. I went to one seminary class at DTS, quit seminary, like on a Tuesday. I'm like, I don't want to do an 8-page paper. I'm out.
Yeah.
And so, but it's like, I do have ADD and I do have a ton of ideas. So me trying to stick with one is challenging, but like this podcast, I love it and I'm being held accountable and I spend time on it. Like I do it 2 days a week. Yeah. It does not feel like work. It is awesome. So help me or others out there that feel like, God, I literally can't complete anything. I have great ideas January. I have great ideas on a Monday and then they're gone by Tuesday.
Yeah. So, I mean, and I'm a very distracted person. Like if somebody told me 15 years ago, you'll have written 9 or 10 books. I'd be like, you're crazy. I can't sit still for 2 seconds. So I think the thing you have to remember, one, give yourself some grace. Like our distraction technology has scaled faster than our ability to focus. Like think about the strides we've made in distraction versus the strides we've made in focus. Like my first phone had Snake on it. That was the only game. like it had Snake. Like, and it just was a little line that went around and ate on the, like, that was it. And it was 2-bit. And it was like, now your phone has every movie ever made and every video game ever created and every form of entertainment ever created. And there's 50,000 of the world's best developers, the smartest developers who have ever lived, and PhDs and psychologists, all with one goal, which is your time. Their only goal is your time. So then we go, I suck at focusing. And you're like, no, you're up against 50,000 people. Like who are paid to think about ways to get Courtney to not do the thing. Like, so you one have to go, the odds are stacked against you. So knowing that, how do you take some of that back? How do you stack them in your favor with little things, big things, small things? So a little thing for me when I need to finish something is like, I love my timer. The app I use the most on my phone is my timer. Mm-hmm. And it's such a geeky thing, but I'll put my phone on Do Not Disturb and I'll set a timer usually for 30 to 60 minutes. And I'll put on some sort of ambient music and I'll just focus on that one project for 30 to 60 minutes. And then I'll see those hours stack up, like I'll stack them up. And so every book I've written in the last probably 5 years has been written that way, like hour at a time, hour at a time, hour at a time. And so that's a little way. Another little way is like my phone doesn't come into my bedroom at night. It charges in another room because I know if it's in the bedroom, it's over. Like I'm gonna watch one video that turns in another one. I know I'm not good at transitions. I'm not like, if I'm not careful, I'll get stuck in a transition. An example of that would be after I run, if I bring my phone into the bathroom while the shower warms up and I look up one video, I will stand there for 20 minutes while the shower runs because I got stuck. So that's a transition. So another way to finish things is to have self-awareness and to not let yourself, like not prepare yourself to fail. Like I want to be successful. Wow, I'm bad at transitions. I got to have the humility to admit that. And then I have to have the self-awareness to kind of come up with an alternative to that. So what tool do I need for that? What moment do I need for that? Oh, I need accountability. Like, okay, I need other people involved or I need to send this somewhere. Like I have a CrossFit trainer in my neighborhood that helps me. I text him when I finished my workout. So I have a little gym in my garage. And by gym, I mean, I own 3 kettlebells and I move my car when it's time to work out. Like my pull-up bar is attached to a tree in the backyard. Yes. Very rocky 4. So I text him the photo of my complete workout. I take notes, how many kettlebell swings, pull-ups, whatever. I text it to him. He responds, I would say 5 out of every 100 times. The response isn't the point. I am the one who goes, all right, I checked that box. Wow. Caleb knows I did it. So I'm constantly trying to add as many little tools to my life so that I can focus, so that I can stay engage so they can, because I think we all too often, when you're not good at finishing things, we hold our breath and think, okay, I've got to get better at it versus going,
yeah,
like, nah, I need 100 tools. I need 100. And so I'm constantly collecting them. I've been experimenting with this Kanban productivity system for the last year. That's helped a lot. Like, I'm constantly curious about that. And so that's been really helpful, is the curiosity and then the self-awareness.
Yeah.
Like, to go and like, forgive yourself for not being good at it.
Yeah.
Like, forgive your, you know, like I heard somebody once say, and this was, it was a blind speaker at an event from like the 60s. And I just listened to an audiobook, and he was like, some people crown the circumstance. They deify the circumstance. And he said, I could deify that I'm blind, as if that was the thing. Or I could just say, that's one of my circumstances. I'm going to figure it out.
Yeah.
So like, the challenge of you and quitting the Tuesday classes, you've told that story to yourself and other people so many times.
Yeah.
You've made it a bigger story than it is.
Wow. That's good.
And so it's just a Tuesday. You're not.
Thank you for this counseling session. Yeah. This is good.
Yeah. There's other stuff you've done that you've finished, you know?
Correct. Correct.
Enduring, resilient, courageous. These are qualities we want to describe our faith in God. But the truth is that faith is hard, especially when trials, setbacks, and failures seem to define us. Author and Bible teacher Alexandra Hoover invites you to join her for her newest Bible study, Without Wavering, Resilient Faith Built on the Promises of God. Alexandra Hoover will offer encouraging words of hope and examples of unwavering faith from the Bible. Drawing inspiration from the examples of faith in Hebrews 11 and the early church, you'll see that life's challenges don't have to define you. Through hope in Christ, you can become the woman who weathers the storms of life with renewed strength and confidence in who God is and who He says you are. Learn more about Without Wavering at lifeway.com/without-wavering. That's lifeway.com/without-wavering. Have you guys heard of the online learning program called IXL? My kids were actually required to do IXL as a part of their school, and they would roll their eyes when it was time. But I think they would tell you years later, and I would tell you, that it really worked and it helped them so much. They received the help they needed in subjects where they were struggling. And I know other parents at our school that used it for their kids that are ahead and they weren't getting challenged enough in the classroom. IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum and your child's classroom learning. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting it to each child. It meets them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. And the best part is, IXL is easy for parents. Don't we need that? One site gets you all you need, and IXL customizes learning for each child in your family and their specific needs. IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, and it makes it simple to find activities for the exact skills that you are covering. It also offers instant feedback and explanations of the topics as the kids use the program, which is super helpful. So you can feel confident as a parent that your kids will gain an understanding of the skills they are learning. Make an impact today on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And pardon the mess, listeners can get an exclusive 20% off an IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. You probably know Avocado Green Mattress for their certified organic mattresses. I've been talking about that lately, but did you know they also make unbelievably breathable natural bedding? From soft organic cotton sheets to light as air silk and lofty down duvets, their bedding is designed to naturally regulate your temperature and keep you cool, comfy, and sleeping soundly all night long. So listen up, hot sleepers, this one's for you. This bedding is perfect for hot sleepers in warmer months. Hello, Texas summer. Avocado sheets and duvet inserts are naturally breathable, and they help regulate your temperature so you can sleep cool, dry, and comfortable all night long. And just like those mattresses, avocado bedding is crafted from renewable, biodegradable materials with the highest social and environmental standards, so it's better for you and better for the planet. And beyond that sustainability, this bedding is designed to deliver luxurious comfort that will have you looking forward to crawling into your bed every night. Head on over to avocadomattress.com to save 10% on all bedding and 50% on clearance bedding.
Avocado. Dream of better. So Ella, one of mine, and she's honest about it. We both have ADD, and she just discovered it like her sophomore year of high school. And she gets really frustrated with herself. And I said, Elle, like, it is okay. But same thing you're saying, like, but you're going to have to figure out what, like, I have to make lists every day. If I don't pull up my list on my phone, nothing is happening. So I'm like, if you're 16 and you can't get your schedule together, like you said, there's nothing wrong with you. You're just going to have to figure out how to cope and function with those realities.
And you're going to find the tools as you go. That's the other thing. So I think you find tools that help you based on experiences. So speed up the rate of experiences. So we talk about travel some with flights.
Yeah.
The worst is when you're there at TSA and it's somebody who only flies once a year. Because it's like, if you think about it, that would be intimidating. Like, understandably so. Like, you go up to TSA, you're like, I don't know where to stand. I don't know what to do. Like, it feels like you're landing on the moon. Like, what do I take off? How many ounces is 3 ounces? Like, it's very, because they only do it once a year.
That's right.
I fly 100 times a year. So, like, I'm in and out. Like, I know how to do it. I have a lot of experiences. Right. So, when you want to learn a new tool, often you just have to speed up the rate of experience and go, okay, I tried this thing 3 times. This didn't work. So the lie is I should know exactly what I need before the experience. I think that's really impossible.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I really, where you see that with entrepreneurs is they'll go, you got to know your niche before you start. You got a micro niche. You got a niche to get rich. Know exactly who you like, which is the equivalent of saying to someone who's never eaten food, what's your favorite food? And you'd say, well, I've never eaten. No, but what's your favorite ingredient? You go, I've never tried any of them. I know, but what is it? Sushi? Is it Southern Cambodian? And you'd go, I've never had any of it. I can't. And they're like, well, you got to pick your favorite now. So for like your daughter, I think part of it, especially for kids, is you're constantly collecting those tools and you're going to build that toolkit the rest of your life. And you know, there's new tools I'm picking up at 47. Like, and I'm sure at 51, I'm going to be like, oh, that's, I didn't know that. I didn't know I needed that. Like, oh, that's good to know. Like, that's one that, you know, that I need to think about. Okay, that's a helpful tool. And that she's even thinking about that at 16, she's already ahead of where I wasn't that thinking that way at 16. You might not have been thinking that way at 16. Like, she's already got a great head start.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you work, or do you work from home or do you have an office?
I work from home.
You work from home. Okay, so I'm asking this for you and your wife. So as kids are in and out, and the distraction is super high with these people that we're also caring for.
Yeah.
How do y'all manage that? Like, do you have almost like the whole Big Rock analogy years ago, you know, is it like you have these blocks of time where you're like, y'all are not going to wreck my day? Or are you like, you know what? I was supposed to work out at 3, but you need me to take you to Sonic and your friend's house. So how do you do that as a parent?
Yeah. I mean, I try to be flexible with it, and it's based off age too. I want to be real clear. I have a 17-year-old and a 20-year-old. So it's different. And at every season, it was a little different. The joke my wife and I do is I got furious when my kids were like 2 and 3 and they dropped a nap. Like they, like I would, cause I thought I had that time available. Like it was a Saturday. I remember it. And I was like, I'm going to write a little. My wife was like, no, they're up. And I was like, what about the nap? And she's like, they dropped it. And I was like, did we get a vote? Was there a family meeting? She's like, no, it's over. And I was like, what? Like, I was such a grumpy 34-year-old or however old I was. And so it's different based on the age.
Yeah.
But I think what's happened for me is I'm trying to practice being interruptible for the right people. So, you know, the iPhone has different do not disturb settings. Like, you can do a personal one where you go, these 3 people can disturb me. If you think about family like that, like, it's not everybody. And there's going to be boundaries and there's going to be things. But if you had a small list of people who could interrupt you, who would it be? And how, you know, what would that look like? And then the other thing is the older I get, the more I practice flexibility. Mm-hmm. So that if your kid, if you have a teenager say, hey, can we hang out? You drop everything. That's a simple rule. Like, that doesn't happen 1,000 times. Like, so an example of that I wouldn't have been able to execute when I was living a little tighter and kind of more control freak, but I've worked on it because I made it a goal. like 2 weeks ago, my oldest daughter, she went back to college this week. She was like, hey, can we play pickleball before I go back to school? And I was like, yeah, how about tomorrow at 8 a.m.? And it was a Wednesday in the middle of the week at 8 a.m. And I had been I shut the office down for all of July. I didn't work in July for the first time. And so this is the week I was back. in the past, that would have been go, 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 go.
Yeah.
And I had the margin to go, yeah, let's play pickleball tomorrow at 8 a.m. Let's go. Like that mattered. And so for me, trying to be flexible with it, trying to know it's going to be messy, trying to know it's never going to, there's never going to be enough hours with it. Like there's never, I tell people all the time, the problem is your imagination's bigger than your calendar. Like your imagination is bigger than your calendar. You're able to think up more than you can possibly get done. And that's not failure. That's just how your brain works. Your calendar's flat.
Yeah.
It's been the same for 700 years. Your brain is different every day. So I try to look at it that way. And give myself lots of grace, lots of grace. And then if you're a parent, to use every bit of time you have. Like one of my favorite stories in the new book, All It Takes Is a Goal, is there's a woman in there, Susan Robertson, who got her degree in the car rider pickup line. She said 15, 20 minutes at a time, took a long time and I had to work at it. I would read a textbook. I would listen to a lecture. So she just said, okay, I don't have gobs of time. What do I have? How can I build that? So I think that there's a lot of moms listening that would say, yeah, I meet women all the time that'll go, yeah, I got a side hustle, just retired my husband because I just did this thing. And you're like, oh my gosh. And they have three kids. And they, at the same time, the last thing I'd say on that point is, especially if you're a mom, new seasons deserve new scorecards. Mm-hmm. New seasons deserve new scorecards. So what I see happen is I'll meet women that'll go, John, I'm failing to achieve my goals. I used to achieve them so much better. I go, well, tell me what's going on with your life. And they're like, I have a 4-year-old and two year olds. And I'm like, well, you're raising humans. Yeah. Like you need a new scorecard. So what happens is they're scoring this stage of parenting against pre-kid life and feeling inadequate. And then when you see it with other adults is how many people that'll say, I'm not doing enough to grow my real estate business. And I'll go, what's different? And they'll go, well, I mean, I'm doing 10 hours a week taking care of my dad with dementia. And I'm like, yeah, like that's, and often we can't see that obvious thing. Yeah. And then I'll go, you're in a new season. You need a new scorecard. Like don't, and like we have to give ourselves that grace to go, wait a second, am I in a new season? Do I need a new scorecard? Okay, let me build that one.
Let me ask you about, I'm going to assume something. I don't even know you that well, but do you write from a place of sorting it through? So was like, say you're writing soundtracks and your new playlist, the ones right before this, were you like working on a goal and then just that issue? Because I think a lot of your books center around like a human challenge. Like this is true of most humans. They're challenging with this. And then you put complex into simple. So was goals something you were sorting through? Or do you look back and be like, you know what? I really have figured out something and I want to share people with my amazing recipe.
Yeah. So the way my books work is I have a challenge, a problem, an obstacle and in my own life. And I go, oh, I gotta figure this thing out. Like I think life could be better if I worked on this. Okay.
Yeah.
So I work on it and then I go, do other people have this too? Or is this like just a John thing? And then I test it, research it. So with this one, it literally started, and I start the book this way. We're at Samford University in Birmingham, Alabama. And this is 2 years ago. And my oldest daughter's taking college tour. And my wife went there and I went there. And she goes, wasn't college amazing? And I was like, no, it's terrible. It's terrible. Like, and I was just looking at this train wreck of my 4 years there. And I remember driving home back to Nashville filled with regret, but I had just finished soundtracks. So I had this real sense that I get to choose my thoughts. Like I had learned how to do that. So I was like, bitterness isn't helpful. That regret, that shame isn't helpful. What am I going to do with it? And then I started to work on this idea of like, okay, that was 4 years. What if the next 40 years of my life could be different? I can't go back and change college. Like that's true. I didn't make the most of it. It was a wasted opportunity. And so then I started to go, okay, let me study potential. Man, it's so fuzzy. It's so people like, it's so holistic when people talk about it. What do I do with it? Like I write books that answer the question, hopefully, of what do I do with this on a Tuesday? Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. What do I do with this on a Tuesday? How do I actually, so I started to work on that. And that's when I got Mike Peasley, who's this PhD in Nashville, this professor, and said, hey, let's ask a bunch of people if they have it too. Like, I'm curious. Like, it's helping me. Let's ask people. We asked 3,000 people, and that's when 96% of them said, no, they're not living up to their potential. So now I'm like, wow, it's a big enough felt need for me to spend years leaning into it. And then that kind of sets the ball rolling.
Yeah.
And what I say, like, what I've learned to think about is I try to write books with my heart, not with my hands. You can read a nonfiction self-help book where you're like, it's technically true, but it's not practically true. Like, it's written with their hands, not their heart. They're not in here. It wasn't a real problem they fixed. And so that's what I hope comes through in my books, is that I believe in it like crazy because I've benefited from it in my own life. So, like, one of the concepts in the book that people have been asking me about is guaranteed goals, this concept of guaranteed goals. Like, how can you guarantee them? How can you guarantee them? And I keep saying, I couldn't have put that in the first book, but in book 9, I can say they exist because that's what I've used. Like, I haven't used magic to write 9 or 10 books. I really haven't. I've used goals. And so, like, I know you can guarantee big goals if you do them the right way because I'm doing it. Like, it's not I'm telling you what I've been doing, and I'm telling you what hundreds of people I've worked with have been doing. Like, the Susan Robertson, who is like, I'm going to get my degree. Like, I guarantee, like, Susan Robertson is not getting, she's not going to, it's going to be impossible for her not to get her degree because she's doing it the right way. So that's part of it, is just the joy of doing it for a while and then going, man, I think this would really be cool if you tried it. And I think you'd enjoy it.
That's amazing. One aha you gave me, and I don't even know, again, that this is true. I'm making assumptions based off of social media, but I see you have workout.
Could be all lies.
You have workout gear on. But you're also doing something for your Instagram. Is that by design that you're like, I'm already doing this? Like, for me, if I go on a walk once in a blue moon, I have clear thoughts. Like, if I'm taking a shower, I have, like, inspired thoughts. So do you purposely marry those things? Like, I'm just going to get on and do the content while I'm thinking about it?
Yeah, so I do have the benefit of endorphins. So I have the benefit of, like, the clarity of endorphins. But the real reason I do that is to get around perfectionism. Mm. So I know if I set up a light and the camera and a script and all the things in this office, I'll be crippled by perfectionism. Mm. I'll reshoot it. The angle will be wrong. The lighting will be wrong, whatever. So to get around that, when I'm sweaty and tired and a little out of breath and I'm in the middle of the street and I feel a little silly, but I've got endorphins, I record those because I'm brave in that moment. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't get stuck. So again, like, I'm constantly going, like you said about your daughter, I have perfectionism. It's a hassle. What are some ways around it? What are some tricks? What are some tools? Good. And I experiment. And then when it works a couple times, like, it works the first 3 to 5 times, like, oh, we just stumbled on something. Let's write that down. Let's pay attention. Let's repeat that. Let's make that a thing. That's why I do it.
Yeah. Are you friends with Jeff Henderson?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, so he was my pastor, and we worked together at Chick-fil-A, but he came to my house one time with some speakers, and I'm going to get to a compliment of you, but he was talking about the speaker styles, and he was like, Court, like, you're highly motivating. Like, people love you, you're entertaining, but you got to have some content. I was like, oh! And so I'm looking at you like, you have a really unique speaking, communicating style that is, it has total content, it is accurate, it is helpful, you're funny is all get out, and so I appreciate it. And I think that bringing who you are to your social media and to your books is really resonating with lots of people like me. So thank you for your work.
Oh, I appreciate that. Yeah. I have fun doing it. I feel thrilled that I get to share ideas like this. And the thing the reason I like to do it, or what's helped in the last 6 months, is I'm obsessed with wisdom. Like, I'm obsessed. So, like, I'm told it's worth everything. I'm told it's going to cost me everything.
Yeah.
And so I, like, when I read that, I was like, well, then let's make a list. What is it going to cost me? It's going to cost me humility. It's going to cost me ego, because I have to admit I don't have it. It's going to cost me time. It's going to cost me some money sometimes. It's going to cost me opportunity sometimes. So I made a list, because I'm a list guy. And then I was like, let's go get it. So now, like, one of the goals I'm experimenting with right now that maybe I'll put in a book someday is just being really deliberate about wisdom hours. So let me see if I have. Yeah. So if you're watching this online, like, these are the wisdom hours I've done in August this month so far. So I'm at 52 hours of wisdom. And then I made a list of, what does that mean? It means reading. It means writing. It means sitting with a notebook. It means talking to wise friends. It means, so now I can execute against it, because if I'm told it's important, that wisdom matters, and nobody thinks anymore, nobody has time to think anymore, and I can see the benefit. So part of my idea creation is that I'm paying attention. Like, I'm going, I want wisdom, I want wisdom, I want wisdom. And then when, like, I'm collecting the ideas, I'm treating them as if they're worth something. Like, so then I have lots of things to share versus like, right. I tell writers all the time, I don't believe in writer's block. I believe in idea bankruptcy. Like if I sit down with a blank piece of paper and can't write, it's because my ideas are bankrupt. Like I never sit down with a blank piece of paper. I bring 100 friends of ideas I've collected.
Love that.
And then like, then I've got all this stuff to create. That's what's, whether that's parent and all five games, you know, parenting, health, finances, all of it. I'm constantly trying to create it and collect it. And then when I need to do it, I have a lot of ideas.
So great. So great. All right. Thank you for being here. And will you just end us with where we can find you and where folks can get All It Takes Is a Goal?
Yeah. So the book is available everywhere books are sold. I read the audiobook if you're an audio person. I love audiobooks myself because you can do other stuff. You can walk around the neighborhood. Like it's a great double dip. An audiobook is a really fun double dip. We put 10 bonus stories in the audiobook. So it's a ton of extra content. And then I'm johnacob.com. And then I have a podcast called All It Takes Is a Goal. If you want to listen to one episode, I listened to the Colleen Berry episode. It was like episode 3 or 4. She's a single mom who lost her job and had to do 4 different jobs to kind of equal the bills. And one was she was a receptionist. And she's now the CEO of that company that she was a receptionist at. So it's a super... super cool story, especially if you're a mom, you're a single mom, you're like, what? Like Colleen Berry is a boss. And so that one was a really amazing. fun episode.
Amazing. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Appreciate you being here.
Appreciate it.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of Pardon the Mess. As always, we've got more encouragement and resources over at christianparenting.org. And you can also stay connected with us on social media at Pardon the Mess. And if you like this episode, I'd love for you to do 2 things. Press follow on whatever podcast platform you love, and also be sure to leave a rating so other parents can find us. Remember, you're never alone in this beautiful mess of parenting.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. BetterHelp recently surveyed over 16,000 people and found that while 75% of people believe it's wise to seek support, only 27% of Americans are in therapy, and people stay silent to avoid being judged. BetterHelp has over 10 years of experience matching you with the right therapist, because we're all better with help. Visit betterhelp.com/stopthestigma for their first ever State of Stigma report. The latest in mental health research.